Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, this is the last Wednesday of the month, and so usually we try to do a few little jokes and some trivia, and I forgot to bring my program where I can kind of put the laughter on, because you know what? It's really weird to tell some jokes and nobody's laughing, but what else is new? I mean, that happens to me all the time, so I'm ready for it today. So I'm just going to just stare at the camera, and you can stare back, and you don't have to laugh. You don't even have to smile, because I can't see it. So I'm going to start off with, well, I know what to do. We'll start off with a little bit on the lighter side. And so here we go. Today's stock market report. Here we go. Helium was up. Feathers were down. Paper was stationary. Knives were up sharply. And cows steered into the bull market. Pencils lost a few points. Hiking equipment was trailing. Light switches were off. Mining equipment hit rock bottom. Diapers remained unchanged. The market for raisins dried up. I'm cracking myself up here. Coca-Cola fizzled. Caterpillar inched up. Balloon prices were inflated. And batteries exploded in an attempt to recharge the market. So there you go. Now, I've got a question. Did anybody smile? Did anybody laugh? Did anybody slap their knee? Did anybody hold their sides? Not necessary. Yeah, I was afraid of that. Next time I'll bring my sound effects and everything will be fine. Okay, so here's a couple of trivia questions for you. So I won't know if you answered them, but I'll try to give you a chance to do that before I go to the next one. So how much money does Pat Sajak and Vanna White make for Wheel of Fortune? The answer to that will explain why they've been on for 40 years. Okay, you ready? Pat Sajak makes $15 million a year. And Vanna White makes $10 million a year. Now, would you like to have a job turning letters and make $10 million a year? Would you ever quit your job? I don't think so. All right, so NASA are the initials for what? I think a lot of you will know that one. Got it? National Aeronautics and Space Administration. Now, when the moon is over your head, do you weigh more or less? You weigh less. The only food that does not spoil. Hey, the sound booth guys, y'all can call them out too when you know them. Oh, y'all are thinking? All right. Honey. Who was the youngest American officer ever to become a general in the U.S. Army? Somebody. You said George Washington. That's a good guess. But actually, it was George Custer. He was 23. The first non-human to win an Oscar. Brian? No? Hey, that was a good guess. He said Lassie. No, the answer is Mickey Mouse. A jiffy is an actual unit of measure. What is it? 1/100th of a second. So we're all lying when we say, I'll be with you in a jiffy. Because by the time you finish saying the word, you've already gone over the time allotted. So there you go. 1/100th of a second. More people die of this sting than all the poisonous snakes combined. Bee? Yes, honey bee. That was a good one. We're going to give Kenny credit for that. Give yourself some credit. I don't know if you have anything to mark. Okay, he's patting himself on the back. Okay. A cosmic year is the amount of time it takes the sun to revolve around the center of the Milky Way. How long is that? When the sun revolves around the center of the Milky Way, it takes 225 million years. So, if we're right when it's starting again, I doubt if anybody will be around by then on Earth as it is now. How about the new Earth? Okay, I don't have a sermon on that. All right. So there we go. Now I've got a lesson for you today, and I think it's going to bless you and maybe answer some questions. And the title of this message is More Than Enough. Now, I started to title this Prosperity, but I thought some of you would want to start arguing immediately and saying, hey, listen, you preachers, this prosperity message, you know, we don't go for that. That's just being selfish and greedy and all that. Well, hold on a minute. Let's just set all of that aside, all of our reservations aside, and talk about the kind of God that we have and to find out, is there provision and prosperity and blessing promised to us in the Bible? So in Psalm 35, it says, let those who delight in my righteousness shout for joy and be glad and say evermore, great is the Lord who delights in the welfare of his servant. Deuteronomy 29. I'm going to go through these pretty fast so we can kind of keep this rolling and don't give you a chance to get bored here. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. Ephesians 3:20, he is able to do far more abundantly, another translation says exceeding, than all all that we ask or think according to the power that works within us. Well, one of the names of God, he is El Shaddai, the God of plenty, the God of abundance, the God of more than enough. Genesis 17:6 says, I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make you into nations, and kings shall come from you. First Chronicles, David said, the house that is to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, of fame and glory throughout all the lands. Now, can you imagine God saying, now, David, you're dreaming. I don't need something magnificent. Just a little hut will do, or a tent. That's all that I'm asking. No, no. God didn't object to anything that David was prophesying about the future. And then we have, I like the story in the Bible. It's in several of the Gospels about Jesus feeding the 5,000. Actually, I put on there it was 10,000 Jesus fed, because when it talks about 5,000, they were just counting the men. So there were at least twice that many that were there. So they were fed with two fish and five loaves. Jesus could have said, now, we don't have very much here, folks, so everybody just eat one little bitty piece, because the others at the back may not have enough. Oh, wait a minute. What is the God? What is the God like that we serve? He's the God of more than enough. And it was just proved right there in this feeding, because it said whenever everybody had eaten their fill, they gathered up the leftovers and there were 12 baskets full. That's the God of more than enough. And we also have the story of, we call it the prodigal son. And not going through the story, but whenever the prodigal son came home, the Bible says, or the story goes, the father threw a party for the son who came back home. It was a big party with lots of food and celebration. Why? That's the way our Father is in heaven. That's what Jesus was trying to teach. Not just about this Father, but he was trying to teach us this is how our Heavenly Father is. He throws a party and lots of celebration. Well, Malachi 3 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be plenty of food in my house. Test me out and you will find the windows of heaven are open and an abundance of blessings for all. Wow. So how about the windows were open then? I wonder if those windows are still open today. Well, of course they are, because that's the kind of God that we serve. I like to throw in Adam and Eve in almost everything that I talk about, because we go back to the very beginning and we'll find out that prosperity, not barely enough, was the destiny of Adam and Eve. So here's what I gather from the Bible. It's okay to prosper. You don't have to feel guilty about that. And you don't have to minimize your prayers because you're afraid of asking for too much. So don't hesitate to ask big. Like Moses, did he ask big for the waters to part? For God to deliver 2 million people? That's asking pretty big. How about like Jabez? Jabez prayed a big prayer to God that he would enlarge his borders. Like Elijah, fire coming down from heaven, water coming and raining on the earth when it hadn't rained in years. And like Jesus. And Jesus said, you could speak to this mountain, tell it to move, and it will. So we serve a big God with lots of resources. Don't sell your God short. I think what happens is sometimes we're a little bit embarrassed by our own prosperity. Actually, I am. I mean, I'm thinking of all the things that God has provided for my family throughout the years. I mean, from the time I was just a little tyke. Just the other day I was asking Becky, I said, Becky, do you realize how many times God has saved your life? And she said, no, I hadn't thought about that. And I said, well, I'm thinking about it right now, and I'm not counting everyone. I'm just kind of estimating, and I'm thinking he has saved my life about 200 times over the course of the years. Yeah, thank you, Lord. You're a God of provision. You're a God of plenty. You're a God of protection. So every time we get together and hold hands and pray, we thank God and we tell him we're grateful. And we say, God, you are our provider. He's our protector. He's our provider. He's the God who blesses. So, yes, I'm a little bit embarrassed with how much God has blessed me. I remember a time when we were kind of like behind in credit card debt because we just had to put things on our credit card. Like some of it was like David's own tuition at TCU, and we were trying to get him through, and there was other things. We had just bought a house, and then we said, oh, we just built a house, and now we can't afford to live here. It's like we put it up for sale right after we moved in because we couldn't afford the payments or the taxes. It's like, oh, well, long story short, God supernaturally provided everything that we needed. So we paid off all of David's debt at TCU, all of our debt, and most of our house at the time. And we just said, God, you are the God who will keep this up. This house belongs to you. We're never going to shut the door and say, you can't come in because this is God's house. So that's been our attitude. Sometimes we somehow think it's wrong and that we should never ask God to do something miraculous or over the top. I'm just here to encourage you. Don't get that mentality. You can ask God to do something miraculous and over the top because he's got plenty of resources. There's things that he can do and perform that you could never do and never expect God to do. He's the God of abundance. So some of the reservations that we have perhaps on this whole subject of prosperity is the misuse of the word. The misuse of, because it's all through the Bible. I mean, we could just go through every one of the Bible people and how God provided for them. So we have the name it and the claim it group. We somehow, when a preacher gets up and starts preaching on prosperity and God's goodness and God's going to bless you, and then the preacher is at the end of the sermon, he's saying you need to take that prosperity and those blessings and give it to our ministry. So there's sometimes a little selfish motive involved there, and so we get very suspicious when people start preaching on the subject of prosperity. Or the, just go ahead and whatever you want, just ask God for it. Well, listen, God is not our servant. He's not just up there to give us everything that he wants, but he is a God of blessing and prosperity. So we don't want to just use this teaching so we say, oh boy, I'm going to be able to drive a big new car and put in a swimming pool and build a bigger house. No, that's what I call out of balance teaching. So those things are not what I'm talking about, but I'm talking about the Bible kind of prosperity and blessing and provision. So how about this? How about praying a prayer like this? God, I know you are the God of more than enough, that you want me to be blessed way more than I ever expect, so I'm asking big today. Do you need something big in your life today? Perhaps it's a healing. Perhaps it's a financial situation. Perhaps it's a relationship. All kinds of situations come up. You can bring them to God because we know our Heavenly Father is just like that father and the prodigal son when he came home. God wants to throw you a party. Most of our asking actually is on a minimum level. Have you ever prayed, God, if you would just do this for me, then I won't ask you for anything else. Just give me enough to get by. Like the man that went on a cruise, and the next thing you know, the next day on the cruise ship, he was eating some crackers and some cheese that he had brought in his bag, and he was eating that. Somebody came out of the banquet hall and said, what are you doing just eating those cheese and crackers? And he said, well, I didn't have enough money for anything else. I just had enough money for the ticket. And the man said, don't you know that ticket covers everything on the cruise? Come on in here to the banquet hall, and there's a huge buffet. God has a huge buffet. Don't pray minimal prayers. Pray big prayers. God delights in your prosperity, not your poverty. It isn't humility when we tend to think that little and lack and barely enough is a sign of it. There it is. I like the scripture that says, give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together. I might have that down here a little bit, so I won't. So, I'm just saying, God is not against your prosperity. He is against your selfishness and greed. Okay, so sometimes that prosperity message resonates in people's hearts because they have selfishness and greed. James warns us, he says, don't think you're going to get anything from God to use it for your selfish lusts. God wants you to use your prosperity and your blessings to bless others. So that's the reason. God says, hey, I think I can trust this person because I'm giving to a giver. There it is, Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. What? Running over? More than enough? That's pretty big. Running over. The God of more than enough will be put into your lap. So when you honor God and give like God gives, expecting nothing in return, He will go out of His way to bless and prosper you. You're one of His favorite people because God's your favorite God. And you go to Him in prayer, and you spend most of your prayer in thanksgiving and gratitude. Peter had fished. There we go. Peter had fished all night and caught nothing. Jesus could have said, "Don't be so greedy. A couple of fish is enough." But what did he say? He said, "Hey, Peter, throw your nets on the other side of the boat." When he did that, he said, "Nevertheless, at your word." He said, "You know, I'm a fisherman. I know where to cast my net. But no, at your word, I'll do it." He pulled up. There were so many fish in the nets that the nets began to break. He had to have help. So don't feel guilty about God's blessings in your life. God loves to do it. It isn't wrong to claim God's blessings that have your name on them. There we go. Think about how many blessings are stored up for you. And we don't have to wait until we get to heaven. They're stored up for you in heaven, but they're to be used right here on earth. Yes, I hope that's been a blessing to you today. Here's our closing prayer if you'd like to pray it with me. God, I believe you want the best and the most for me. Exceeding goodness, provision, healing, all heaven has to offer. Thank you for adopting me into your family of blessings beyond measure. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, hey, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for watching today. Glad you're out there. And we will see you again next Wednesday. Until then, God bless. See you then.